All right, so we're continuing with Sermon 135, relevant questions. The first question that we have for today is, can I, as a Kohen, mevater? In other words, can I say, you know what, I already got the first Aliyah. Now I want to give the second Aliyah to my buddy the Israelite. This question actually comes up all the time when you have a simcha and you want to honor as many people as possible, and there's a Kohen there, and let's say there's no Levi, so what should happen, technically, is the Kohen's supposed to go up twice. But then the Kohen feels bad. What, I'm getting two Aliyahs and there's so many people to honor? It doesn't feel right. So a lot of times they'll be like, no, it's fine. I'll let my friend take the Aliyah. So is that allowed? The answer is, surprisingly, no. It's not allowed. The Mishnah Berurah writes explicitly, the Kohen is not allowed to even allow a different Kohen to take the second Aliyah. And this is for the sake of Shalom Bayis, to create less arguments which could arise once we start divvying up who gets to take the Aliyahs. Everyone would fight over the Aliyahs. So to make things less argument prone, the rabbi said only one Kohen can take, a Kohen must take the first one, and he should take the second one. The rabbis were afraid that there would be rumors about his lineage, so he has to also take the second Aliyah. That's a good thing for people to know. All right, second super relevant question for this siman is, can I get an Aliyah if I'm illiterate, if I don't know how to read Hebrew? And this, again, comes up for me as a bar mitzvah guide all the time. Many, many people who are getting an Aliyah at a bar mitzvah can't read Hebrew. So should we exclude them from getting an Aliyah? Now, intuitively, I'm sure we all would say, yeah, of course not. Well, why would they have to read it? We have a Baal Korah, he reads it. But it's not so simple, you see. The whole idea is that originally one would say the blessing and then read from the Torah. Now, the Baal Korah nowadays reads instead of the reader, but he's supposed to kind of be helping along the reader who reads along with him, ideally. So if he himself cannot read, so how can he get the Aliyah? And in fact, perhaps surprisingly to many, that is how the Shulchan Aruch Rav Yosef Karo rules. He does not think it's a good idea for someone who cannot read the actual Torah to get up there and get an Aliyah. He doesn't know the Ta'amin, that's one thing, but he has to try to read along with the reader. Now, the good news is the Ramah is not so sure. He, quoting the Maharil, quoting other opinions, this is a huge machlokes right before the modern-day poskim, all the Rishonim are arguing about it. But in any case, he is not super into it, but he does quote a lenient perspective, which the Mishnah Berurah also takes note of. So there does seem to be what to rely upon. Maybe one could say more Ashkenazim than Sfaradim, but there is what to rely upon about an illiterate person getting an Aliyah. Now, fascinatingly enough, what is the basis for the Maharil's leniency? He brings it back to the situation of a blind person. Can a blind person get an Aliyah? Well, he can't read from the actual script. He can't read from the Torah. So maybe he too should not be getting an Aliyah to the Torah. And in fact, there are poskim who rule just like that he should not. With that same logic, that is indeed the Shulchan Aruch's way of understanding the sugya, and probably the Rambam's way of understanding the sugya. However, there are others who disagree. And they say, no. A blind person can get up there. The only problem is if you're reading by heart when you could read. But if you can't read, then it's fine. And that is how the Levush and other Rishonim understand the sugya. There is a very, very fascinating tshuva of some rabbi named the Ma'asit Binyamin, Rav Avram Salonsky, a 16th century Rebbe. And this posek, you really should check out the full tshuva. There's a great article about it on YCT, or just write on Google, can a blind person get an Aliyah? Excellent, excellent article. And basically, in a very moving fashion, Rabbi Salonsky argues that indeed we should allow a blind person to get an Aliyah. He himself, in his old age, had turned blind. And he himself felt, even as a great sage, not be able to get an Aliyah would be very hurtful and very painful. like he's cast out of the community. And he writes that there's logic on both sides of the equation. But the end of the day, we know that the wife of Yonah, the Gemara notes, was allowed to place her hands on a sacrifice, not because halachically it was necessary, even though it was maybe somewhat halachically questionable, but for the sake of her psychological feeling of being part of the community. And so this is a famous example of inclusiveness, which many quote and which he quotes. And he writes, how dare we be strict upon and not allow people to get an aliyah, not allow blind people to get an aliyah, and make them feel excluded from the community if there is reason to be lenient. So how far-reaching is this concept? You know, this is a huge argument among, you know, different rabbis and more modern Orthodox thinkers and less, but it's pretty fascinating. And of course, in our circles, it has become pretty well accepted. You really won't see anyone think twice about having a blind person get an aliyah. I happen to have a very, very good friend who's blind, and he gets an aliyah, and it's a beautiful moment. And here too, we don't hesitate for a moment to be inclusive and allow everyone to get an aliyah to the Torah at bar mitzvahs or at whenever. Although, now that you've listened to this here, you realize that it's not so simple. At the same time, I think that's how halacha works. We look around at the big rabbis and what people do, and we go like that. So there definitely is what to midaktik one way or the other, but it seems like pokhazi. Let's see what the nation says, and the nation is lenient on this one, and by lenient we're being more inclusive, and so I'm thankful that indeed we are lenient on this particular issue. I hope you enjoyed this, and I will continue to try to highlight the relevant, most relevant parts of the Mishnah Berura, and I'm liking the question and answer format because sometimes it's a little hard, you know, to run through every word of the Mishnah Berura. That's more like a chavruta when we're learning on our own. But over an audio, I think this is a nicer format for people to get the golden chunks of the Mishnah Berura and the Shulchan Aruch. And of course, you're super encouraged to learn it inside. And if you are enjoying this little Torah shir, please let me know. Give me a thumbs up. And if you have any specific questions, follow-up questions about it, send me a WhatsApp. I'll be so happy to try to help you out. Have a wonderful day.